now?
11:43.
Okay, so we've got we've got an hour and 45. We still have a good amount of time. Could I have the harmonium, please? Thank you.
You want some of that?
So let's start our session with our prayers. Does anybody remember the Bhaktivinoda Thakur verse yet? Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gora Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga
Variety.
Variety.
Like variety.
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 Of the Rupanuga variety.
Yes.
Rupanuga.
Good way to remember. Why are we doing this? Why are we saying these prayers at the beginning?
Invoke auspiciousness.
To ask for blessings for the teachers. Ask for blessings. Why is it important?
Without the mercy of the Vaishnavas.
We're in ignorance.
We're in ignorance. Well, it's important because it's because we can't do anything without their mercy. So it's like you know, the parampara or sampradaya, it's like you know, it's like a waterfall. The water is coming down, but unless you stand under it, put your hands there, you're not going to be getting it. So in a way, through our activities, we also are coming under it. But through focusing our attention at the start of every activity, we are making a conscious effort to connect. So it's important to be really focused in these times. Even if for the rest of the session we are, you know, feeling tired or whatever, in this moment, really important to focus and pray for their blessings. Om Jnana Timirandasya.
Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate.
why do we focus so much on Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Probably most of you already know this, but I was thinking, you know, we've been reading little bits from his life, which we won't get to finish this week because there's so much to know about him. So we're just getting a little drop. But I was thinking, you know, how can we understand his importance to all of us? We can understand and appreciate that he's an interesting person, that he wrote wonderful poetry, that he has nice songs, and you know, some people mentioned at the beginning that how much he contributed to the musical tradition of Vaishnava culture, and all of these things are true. He was a brilliant person. He was so respected by the British government that they, and I'll show you a little film of it tomorrow, but they built a train line that went right outside his door just so that he could very easily go to work every day as his magistrate. He was in demand. They were officials from different parts of India, posted in different parts of India, bidding to get him to come and be a magistrate in their area, because they knew that wherever he was active, all the decisions, all the judicial kind of things would be decided very quickly, everything would run very smoothly. And when he finally lived in Jagannath Puri, because of his understanding of the devotional tradition, he was able to manage the tension between the British who were in charge and the devotional activities that were going on in such a sacred place, which involved also a lot of money, a lot of resources, so there was a lot of tension there. So all of these things we know about him, but why is he so important? Simple reason is because he completely rescued and revived the Vaishnav, Chaitanya Vaishnav tradition. Without him, we would never know what would happen if he wasn't there, because already in his time, it was only several hundred years after the time of the Goswamis, and already in the whole of Bengal, this is Bengal, not just any part of India, you couldn't find a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita easily. He had to work hard to find just a copy of that important book. And the way that Vaishnav culture was seen was so low, so degraded, that it was considered a joke to say that that's what you were. It was considered to be just like low-class people who would do all kinds of activities that were not tasteful for people who had some culture. So he through his writings, through his activities, he completely revived. And I think it's important to remember this as we sing his songs, that these are not songs of a nice devotee who was very poetic. These are very, very powerful. I wanted to ask Abigail if she would read for us. So we've been reading his Bengali songs. We've been singing his Bengali songs. But you know also he wrote very beautiful English poetry. So while he was in Jagannath Puri, he was getting a little further on in the story. When he was 27, as you remember, his grandfather predicted, whatever you do at the age of 27, that will be the work for the rest of your life, and you will become a great Vaishnava. So both these things came true. So at 27, he was given his first post as a magistrate. And he eventually ended up being posted in Puri. And while he was there, his devotion began to be awakened. He managed to find a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he began to read all the books. He began to consult few Vaishnav Goswamis that he knew who could teach him. He started again studying Sanskrit, and his devotion was being awakened. So in Puri he was becoming so enlivened, because he knew that was the place where Haridas Thakur had performed his bhajan and had left this world. So he says, every day I went to see Jagannath at Sri Mandir. At the time of darshan, I remembered the emotions of Sri Mahaprabhu and I felt very blissful. For a few months he was alone there, but then his family came, and he would often sit at the samadhi of Haridas Thakur. He wrote this very famous poem. Not such a long poem, but maybe you can read it for us. And I apologize if English isn't your first language, sometimes it's harder to appreciate poetry because it's not always clear and easy to understand. But maybe you can even appreciate the sound of the words because he composed in such a beautiful way that it's pleasing just to listen to. Can you hear okay, Satya?
Oh, born of Muslim parents harried us, and trained in youth in Muslim creed, thy noble heart to Vaishnava truth did pass, thy holy acts thy candor plead. Is there a soul that cannot learn from thee, that man must give up sect for God, that thoughts of race and sect can ne'er agree with what they call religion broad? Thy love of God and brother soul alone, bereft thyself of early friends, thy softer feelings oft to kindness prone, led on thyself for higher ends. I weep to read that Kesis and their men oft persecuted thee, alas, but thou didst nobly pray for the wicked then, for thou wert Vaishnava Haridas. And God is boundless grace to thee, O man, united thee to one who came to save the fallen souls from evil's plan of taking human souls to shame. And he it was who led you all that came for life eternal, holy, pure, and gave you rest in heaven's enduring name and sacred blessings ever sure. Thy body rests upon the sacred sands of Swargadwar, near the sea. Oh, hundreds come to thee from distant lands to enjoy a holy, thrilling glee. Mm-hmm. The waters roar and storming winds assail. Thy ears in vain, ah, Vaishnava soul, the charms of Vrindavan thy heart regale. Unknown the wheel of time doth roll. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and live trying to spread a holy life around. Now let the candid man that seeks to live follow thy way on shores of time, then posterity sure to him will give like one song in simple rhyme.
So it was in Puri that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born. His name was, at birth, was Bimala Prasad. And he also subsequently had other children. Some of them died very soon after childbirth, so again there was so much tragedy. Also eventually his wife died and he married again another Vaishnavi whose name was Bhagavati Devi. So eventually he had 10 children. He had others, but 10 were surviving. So here he was living in Puri with 10 children, a magistrate, and during the night he would write, study and read. So before we sing bhajans today, I just wanted to read about his daily schedule because it's quite amazing. I think maybe some of you have heard already. Lalit Prasad Thakur, this is his son, one of his sons, in his notes on his father's life describes the Thakur's daily schedule while he was staying in Jagannath Puri. He was never idle, being always engaged in the service of the Lord. Between 7:30 and 8 p.m., he would go to bed. He would then rise just before 10 p.m., light his oil lamp, and write books until 4 a.m. Then he would again rest for a maximum of half an hour. At 4:30 a.m., he would wash his hands and face, sit down and chant on his beads. He never showed his beads to anyone, but would chant on them constantly as time permitted. At 7 a.m., He answered all correspondence. At 7:30 a.m., read various religious and philosophical works, and at 8:30 a.m. he received visitors, if any, or else continued to read until 9:30. At that time he would walk back and forth on the veranda of his house, contemplating different religious questions and solving them in his mind. Sometimes he would solve them aloud, as if preaching to some unseen guest. He would rest briefly from 9:30 a.m. to 9:45 a.m., so 15 minutes, then take a bath and breakfast, which usually consisted of a half quart of milk, two chapatis, and some fruit. At 9:55 a.m., the Thakur would don his uniform and leave for court in his carriage. Later on, he had the train line, as I told you. As a magistrate, he wore coat and pants. On his neck were six strands of large tulsi beads. He was resolute in his court decisions and would decide a case immediately, not tolerating any humbug. He did his business and left. He shaved his head monthly and never cared what anyone thought of it. The lawyers and Englishmen were astounded by the Thakur's capacity for work. At 10 a.m., court began. He would hear between 30 and 50 cases per day, yet he finished by 1 p.m. So in 3 hours, 30 to 50 cases. They said sometimes what would take someone an hours to deliberate, he would do it in 5 minutes, just very, very clear. He took another 2 minutes to write the judgment in detail. Some of his British superiors became envious and tried to discourage him, but he was not affected. At 1 p.m. he went home, refreshed himself, and then returned to his work from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Every evening after his court duties, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would translate some Sanskrit religious work into Bengali by dictating it to a secretary. Then there was an evening bath and meal consisting of a little rice, two chapatis, and another half quart of milk. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked with a pocket watch so that everything he did was on schedule. Despite his heavy domestic and official responsibilities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's every moment was embellished with an intense desire to render service unto the Lord. So it's quite formidable. Quite amazing. I mean, you can see Srila Prabhupada had a similar... although Srila Prabhupada's life was different because he was traveling constantly in order to spread, but the same way, he would sleep very, very little and be translating and working day and night to share his important message. So today, who remembers, did anyone think about what we were asking about yesterday? Any examples of what was the principle yesterday? Started with go. Do you remember the... Do you remember the Sanskrit? Goktrute Varan. Goktrute Varan. What is the meaning? Accepting the Lord as one's only maintainer. And did anyone think of an example of a story or something that's happened in your life?
I can share. Which happened to me personally.
Mm.
A few years back, I was watching on Mayapur TV. Every day, the Mangal Arati light was like around 12 o'clock in the night in Spain time. So it was like, I'm sure, 4:30 in Mayapur. So I was watching every day a few months constantly. Then I had this developed this desire to go to Mayapur, which until today I haven't got the opportunity yet. So out of that desire, then a phone call came after a few months regarding a family member of mine leaving the body and have to take the ashes to India. As my families are all, so I mean, we are Indian, but we are westernized completely. So completely, like, my family said, okay, who do, like, they called my sister who is in New York, said, okay, like, go down to India and then let's do the prayers. My sister said, impossible. I have my child, it's just no way I can just break and go. So they called me and said, look, I want to go to India, but they said we only want to go for 1 week or 10 days. I said, I can't go to India for 1 week, 10 days. If I go, I would go at least for a few months and just stay in Mandra with my friend, just visit all the holy places. They said, that it's not possible. I said, look, I can't spend money and then just go. I can't afford to just pay for 10 days. It's not what I want. Mm. And finally, after a few days, they called me back and said, look, we have booked your tickets to Delhi. Everything is going to be taken care of. The only thing we request from you is please make the arrangements for the prayers. You choose the place wherever you want. So what I did, I sent an email to Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, and just like commander, by chance that time was also, his name was Krishna Balaram. So they sent me an email, said, look, no problem, you come, we will take care of you. So I flew in to Delhi, they picked us up, took us to Vrindavan, and like from that moment when I landed in Delhi, I was always thinking of Mahaprasad. I said, okay, I would buy some. So this way, like,
who isn't always thinking of Mahaprasad?
I was thinking of Mahaprasad, but like I said, okay, then when I entered Vrindavan, then this, like, the whole trip basically didn't cost me anything. So I could say, like, that's one, like, completely Krishna just maintained
whatever, and facilitated,
you know, whatever, like, whatever necessary. Like, I had the desire, and he, like, completely, Radharani and Krishna is, like, so merciful. He just took care of me completely. We did the parikram, we did everything. And just the last 2 days before leaving back to Spain, I told the Krishna Balaram Prabhu, I met him in the evening after the parikram, in the evening in the temple, in his office, and I said, look, I want tomorrow to get some prasadam, do you want to buy it? And he said, you would like some prasadam? I said, yeah. I said, like, if I can get some of the Rajbhoga. He said, look, by chance there is a devotee which I have here on my, in front of me, a plate of Rajbhoga, and he's not coming, so you can have it. So like, completely, it's like, for me, that's just a small instant that I see that Krishna is so maintains me, like, just like, in the sense of it, if it's spiritual, he just fulfills and maintains without, you know, I could say I didn't spend anything apart from whatever I wanted to bring back, but not everything else was.
Thank you. I'm sure everybody's had similar experiences like that, where you don't know how something is going to happen, and somehow you just feel Krishna arranges. It's like one devotee calls it the tap on the shoulder from Krishna. He's just tapping, saying, I'm here. So that was our one song for that section was Sarvasva Kumar, right? What's the special thing about that song? Do you remember yesterday?
Is it the one that your dog?
It's the dog one, yeah. The dog one. So today we have a cow one. But the first one we're going to do is... this one.
Do you have copies of the one we did yesterday?
Oh yeah, sorry, I completely forgot to, because yesterday we didn't get the copies in time, so I forgot to tell them to give them today. We'll have them by tomorrow. So this one is called Ekona Bujina. Bujini. Can you start reading, Balaram, the translation?
I know now your divine feet are a refuge free from all sorrow and fear, eternally full of sweet nectar.
At the soles of those lotus feet, I surrender myself and all I possess.
Oh Lord, there is no other protection but you in this world, birth and death.
Can you read a little louder?
One more time?
Yes.
Very loud.
At last I know myself to be your eternal servant, whose maintenance you have assured.
Life before, without you, felt nothing but sorrow. Now I live free from all miseries.
Lakshmi, desiring such a place at your lotus feet, executed austerity. austerities only after securing a place by your lotus feet did Lord Shiva attain his Shivatva or quality of
auspiciousness. Auspiciousness. Okay. Very good.
So next time you just change, you get to
Abigail? Or Junior? No.
What?
You want to read?
Try?
Yeah, try.
No. Okay, I try.
upon
obtaining to speak Lord Brahma became
successful
in life, and the great sage
Narada Muni
fell through 2 feet to his heart.
Your lotus feet drive away all fear. Having held them to my head, I dance in great ecstasy, singing their glories.
Your lotus feet will deliver Bhakti Vinoda from the perils of worldly agenda.
Are there? You didn't get one? No? There's more in there.
Why is this yellow and this white?
Different paper.
Thank you.
without you held nothing but sorrow. Now I live free from all misery.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hand all the out all the rest now. So we have
all the songs.
Huh?
All the songs.
Yeah. Take one of each of these.
Maybe she called Anne. She had come back home. She was working at that school. Yeah, she's in a special diet. My husband.
She's a doctor.
It doesn't. No? I thought like less weed and more vegetables and less fat, that would probably be.
Next one is Atmas Samarpani. Next one is Atma Samarpani. So who remembers what the principle is for today? What's the stage or the principle of surrender? We saw the picture yesterday. Do you remember it? Yes, protecting. So firm faith that the Lord will be our protector in any situation. So the one that we just sang was in that section, and this one also is in that section. So this is our cow one, meditation of being Lord Krishna's, one of Lord Krishna's cows. So let's go around this way. O Lord, I am confident of your protection, for like one of your cows or calves, I am your treasured property.
This is the other one.
Oh, you didn't get it yet?
No.
Okay. You can go ahead. Oh, Madhava.
I think.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, sorry. I missed out the first one. It's at the bottom here.
Okay.
Surrendering to you, you lifted me from the burden of false pride. No longer will I try to secure my own well-being.
O Lord, I am confident of your protection, for like one of your cows or calves, I am your treasured property.
O Madhava, I see you leading your herds to pasture on the banks of the Yamuna. You call to them by gently playing your flute.
By slaying giant demons such as Agha and Bhaka, you will always provide.
Call it Govinda and Gopala, will surely protect me by swallowing the forest fire.
Yes. Okay. Okay. When Indra, king of the gods, sent torrents of rain, your will
counteract
his
malice
and protect us by lifting the mighty Govardhan here.
When the four-headed Brahma steals your cowherd boyfriends and calves, then too you will surely protect me, O Gokul Hari.
Loud.
Is now property of Gokula, your holy abode, O Keshava, kindly protect him with care.
I like this one. Atma Sama.
Thank you.
Indra and his torrents of rain, I can sympathize with all the rain you've been having. Surapati Durmati Nasha Vichari Rakubi Varshane Giri Varadari
Rakubi Varshane.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
A question.
No question. Can I read just a little text from Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Yeah, yeah.
This is so nice. The demons killed by Shri Krishna represent the anarchas that prevent the devotee from attaining pure love of Radha. Must personally remove these strong impediments with his best care and efforts and by obtaining the mercy of Krishna. This world of knowledge is given by Krishna, and when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna instructions, Balaram gives one strength with a sincere desire to become purified of all material contamination and should read the following pastimes from the 10 cantos as well. Six.
Thank you.
Nice song.
It's a really nice song. You can hear that in a few other tunes as well if you search it out. So that section was our Avashya Rakshive Krishna, so the firm faith that Krishna will protect. The next two sections come together. That's accepting activities favorable for devotional service and rejecting things which are not favorable for devotional service. So we can learn the Sanskrit tomorrow. You can check the slides that we have. But for now, I wanted to... we don't have to sing all of these bhajans. As Gandhari was saying, you can also read them as prayers or just reflect on them. So I wanted to read out the next one, which is about only accepting things which are favorable for devotional service. And then we will sing another one. So if we can start maybe this side, it's the... Or did I pass it out? Yeah, I did. The one that starts Tua.
I think we didn't get one.
You didn't get it?
No.
Oh, I didn't pass it out. Okay. Yeah. I'll just read it then out, because we're not going to sing this one. I will surely execute with utmost care those activities favorable to your pure devotional service. I will feel fondness for those things in this world which are conducive to pure devotion, and with my senses I will engage them in your service. I will carefully listen to all discussions concerning you, and the satisfaction of my eyes will be to behold your divine abode. I will nourish my body with the sacred remnants of your food, and smell the sweet scent of tulsi leaves adorning those offerings. With my hands I will always execute your service, and I will forever dwell at that place where you abide. I will employ my desires in your devotional service, and show anger to those who are envious of you. So even anger can be used in a favorable way. In this way may all of my propensities and emotions obtain dignity and glory by becoming favorable to you. I will consider as favorable to your devotional service anything I do which is favorable to your devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knows neither religion nor irreligion. He simply prays that all of his activities be conducive for pure devotion to you. Okay, so the next one we'll go to is... Shuddha Bhakata. Actually, let's do Radha Kunda. Let's Radha Kunda Tapa. We'll maybe save this one for tomorrow. What time is it right now?
Ten to one.
Okay.
Time to go.
Okay, we have time.
So this is in the next section,
Radha Kunda.
Yeah, we're going to the next.
Accepting
things.
The next section. This one is, I believe, accepting things which are favorable for devotional service. This one has a lot. And then at the end, at the very end in this book, Sharanagati, there's a section called Bhajan Lalas, which is, they're not part of the six stages, but it's like a finale kind of. It's the longing prayers. So there's other songs in that section which we're also going to sing because they're part of the same book. So this one is really, this is such a beautiful song because it's a whole meditation on Vrindavan and all the different things which are in Vrindavan which are, remind you of Krishna and how we want to be remembering those things all the time. So, Abigail, could you read this section, the verse 1 to 6?
Oh, yeah. My reading is the
You're
names.
The
re- it's
you've got
so
the
great.
Nice reading voice.
You might have to help me with the names. The cottage in the grove on the banks of Radhakund, the great Govardhan Hill, the banks of the Yamuna, Kusuma Sarovara, Manasaganga, the daughter of Kalinda, the Yamuna, with her many waves, the Vamsivat, Gokul, Dira Samhira, the trees and creepers and reeds of Vrindavan, the different varieties of colourful birds, the deer, the cooling breeze from the Malaya Mountains, the peacocks, the bumblebees, the pastimes with the flute itself, the buffalo horn bugle, the footprints of cows in the dust of Raja, the rows of blackish rain clouds, springtime, the moon, the conch shell, and the kartals. All these I know to be very conducive for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I recognize them in a transcendental stimulus for making the Lord's charming pastimes more intense.
I refuse to go anywhere if their stimuli to devotional service are not there, for to abandon them is to abandon life itself.
Bhaktivinoda says, please hear me, O Kana. Your entourage and paraphernalia stimulate remembrance of you and are the very source of my life.
So it's really beautiful. He's saying that all of these different things, just the cooling breeze, bumblebees, the footprints of the cows in the dust, he's saying two things, both that all these things enhance Krishna's pastimes, but also when he sees those things, they remind him straight away of Krishna. So I'm sure everyone experiences this, like the most common one, like whenever you see a peacock feather, you'll think of Krishna, isn't it? Like you can be in a shop, like very often you'll see some earrings or something that's a peacock feather and you think, oh, Krishna. Or it can be anything. So as the more you learn about Krishna, the more you learn about his pastimes. Like he says, springtime. Why does springtime remind us of Krishna? Anyone have
but
a...
But this
suggestion.
Hmm?
But this spring is the
primavera.
Season. Yeah.
Is it favorite time of year for Radharani?
Is it life?
What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? He says, of all the seasons, I am the springtime. But those reasons are also, yeah. How does the moon remind us of Krishna?
Moonlike face.
Moonlike face.
Krishna's eye.
Krishna's eye. Yeah. There's so many different pastimes where the moon comes in, right?
Yeah.
Also the tissue. ¿Cómo se dice uña?
Nail. He has all like moon, like nails, Krishna's nails. You know?
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His nails are said to be like radiant, like moons. Yeah. So there's so many, and then of course he's talking about the different places, Vamsivat, Gokul, Dhira Samir. Some of you have probably been to Vrindavan, and if you haven't, maybe you don't know the pastimes associated with these places, but just to say the name of the place, if you know that, you say the name of the place and then you remember, oh, Vamsivat, that's where Krishna stands and plays his flute. Mm. Or the Yamuna River, oh, that's where this pastime happens. That's where they enjoy themselves in the water. So, yeah, it's very beautiful.
What's Dhira Samir?
Dhira Samir as far as I remember, it's a place where there's like very cooling breezes blowing, but there's a specific pastime that happened there, which I don't remember. The nice thing about bhajans like this that are very simple as well is that you can pick out the words if you start to know a bit of Sanskrit or Bengali, and you can easily connect it with what you're singing. So does anyone know what Venu means? Type of flute? Shankha?
Shankha.
Some of the things are in there. Kusum Sarovar, Manasaganga, Vamsivat.
Shringa.
It means here. Venu. Shringa. I don't know what Shringa is. Mega mala, mega is the clouds. It's like a mala, they're all strung together in a row, like row of clouds. Mm. Vasant is springtime. Shashank, the moon. Yeah. Anyway, you can start to connect it very easily. And we're going to sing this in the same tune as we did Manasa Deha Geha. About these different places, we can really be there.
Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare
analyze that in Italian,
yeah,
it's to write something that in English takes 3 lines,
yeah,
takes 9. Okay, that's in Italian, we use many more words, and I'm just surprised to see that it's possible to translate the whole, basically, last paragraph or verse with 1 line. How is that?
Yeah, so Bhaktivinod Kahe, Bhaktivinod says, Shunokan, please hear me, Okana. That's all that. Shuno means please hear me.
Okay.
Okana. Your entourage and paraphernalia, Tua Udipak. That's basically, they've used two English words because
there's
not one to say. Udipak is your entourage and paraphernalia, all those things that are associated with you. Hamara Paran, my Paran, the very source of my life. But I guess the translator has said also stimulate remembrance of you to highlight what he means by saying they're the source of my life. It's a song about remembrance. So they've embellished, yeah, to make the meaning more clear. But yeah, if you understand the words, then you will get that meaning from it. It is interesting, yeah. It's interesting how that can be. Sometimes the translators take more liberties than others, you know? But sometimes if they translate directly word for word, you lose a lot of meaning because English is quite a limited... In certain ways, it's a limited language. Like, for certain kinds of devotional things, there may not be an equivalent thing that will... explain it.
Yeah, and I was saying in Italian we were taking the whole page to write that.
Yeah. Is that why Italians speak faster?
Yeah,
because there's more words to get through.
And it takes, that's why lunch is 4 hours instead of 2.
Everything takes double the time to say.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? How do you find singing these bhajans? I'm curious. Because I was thinking to...
It's 10 past one,
okay. I was thinking to finish soon for today because I kind of feel like... I kind of feel like less is more when you're singing these prayers because you need to be able to digest and absorb them. There's a lot of different thoughts and different moods, and to just kind of whiz through one bhajan after another, it's kind of interesting to get familiar with them, but it's not always the most productive kind of activity in terms of absorbing them, getting deeper into them. But I was going to ask you, what's your experience with them? Because devotees that have sung bhajans for many years, or when they're familiar songs, just like when there's a song you know on the radio and you like feel, oh yeah, okay, this one, I like singing this. But it may not feel like that if they're that you're hearing them for the first time. Mm-hmm. So what's your experience? Do you find them difficult to sing? Do you find you're able to get into it? I'm just curious to know.
I personally like that. Mm. After that, when you sing the Mahamantra, it's different. Mm. You, after reading the prayer, try to how the chapter is. Mm. It's kind of offering the prayers that you would have appreciated.
I don't take personally whatever comment you make. I'm genuinely curious because I often think about this, you know, because we think, oh, this culture of singing these bhajans is becoming lost a lot because people are not doing it so much. And so sometimes people are like, oh no, we need to bring it back. And sometimes I think, well, do we really need to bring it back? Because people need to also enjoy it and want to do it. And if it's not something that's easy to connect with, then... Because obviously the Maha Mantra is the absolute main thing that we focus on. So
When would they usually be sung?
When would they be sung?
The culture, like?
Yeah, so they're sung. Obviously, in the temple, they can be sung anytime as a meditation. But often they'll be sung for specific occasions or events, or you know. It used to be very much a practice that devotees would just come together and sing bhajans. You know, that was our way of socializing. Like, you go to someone's house and you may like talk and stuff for a while, but when you want to do something together, instead of like playing a board game or whatever you would do, you can sing bhajans together because you all know the songs, so it's enjoyable, just like when any family comes together and they sing different songs. So yeah, they'll be sung many different
times. I personally found this last one you just sang very catchy. For instance, all right, we're in the middle of the sea, aren't we? It's nice. And it really takes you away. And the same as like Sarvasvatama. Yeah, we sang yesterday. I don't remember it, but I remember having a great experience and walking away.
Yeah.
And I don't know if my experience is more attached to the music and more driven by the actual melody and the tune itself. Then I can say that definitely the words, some of them are really difficult to catch.
Mm.
And even yesterday I was trying to catch, you know, follow and change the screen and I couldn't read what you were actually singing. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
to be able at least to, you know, with the words in front of me, be able to recognize.
Yeah.
And it is, at least for me, it's challenging. Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's not that way. It's actually, less and less often.
And it's a question of becoming familiar as
Absolutely.
Well, isn't it? The more you do it, the more you.
But the worse the sounds used in the Sanskrit language, the
Bengali.
The Bengali is beautiful. Yeah. It's really.
Yeah, it is a beautiful language. Very soft language.
Yeah. I think for me as well, like. It's difficult because it's the first, you know, it's the first time I'm venturing into this kind of arena.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't grow up with the culture, so I you know, but for me, I guess I liken it to when I remember being at drama school. One of the very first lessons we had, you know, they gave us all this like you've got all these plays to read and books you've got to read, and you kind of sometimes feel a bit overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, I remember my singing teacher said, you know, she was a great reader of theatre and plays, is what she said. I actually feel quite envious of you guys because I've read them all. You've got it all to look forward to. So I thought, I like to remember that sometimes because it's like, this is the start of a journey.
Yeah,
and
it's a privilege.
You know, exactly. And, you know, the more the practice, the more that you do them, and we have them recorded now so that we can, you know, so that it's not so much a mystery of like, oh my God, I'd read this and go, how do I even possibly attempt to, you know, find a tune or...
Yeah.
So...
Also, just one... Thank you for that. I agree with you, and it's It can be a lifetime journey because there's thousands of these songs. Thousands. There's a website called kksongs.org which has most of the bhajans that you would ever be seeking, quite rare ones and the really more commonly sung ones. If you want to find any translation, they've usually got the lyrics, the translation. They sometimes have a version of it if it's ever been translated into another language, like some Bengali bhajans have been translated into Hindi and made into a new bhajan with the same meaning. And then often they have a recording attached with someone singing it as well, so you can hear what it sounds like.
What's it called?
That's kksongs.org. Yeah. And I think, because I didn't know who was going to be on this course, and so I chose to do it this way, going through the Sharanagati 6 stages. I think if I had known that most of you were a little more new to singing them, I might have chosen to go through all the most common bhajans that are usually sung, because it's nice to get familiar with the ones that you're most likely to hear again. So that's there. The really common ones, but actually you'll have more opportunity to learn those too, because they're sung quite a lot. But it's nice, these ones as well, if you hear them sometime on your journeys, you will recognize them. And I think these are kind of as I said before, they kind of become your companions on your spiritual path. It's not necessarily that singing it once you have a deep experience, but then you hear it again. Maybe you're in Vrindavan one day and you hear it and you remember, oh yes, I remember when I learned that bhajan. And then one day you visit Dira Samir and you remember, oh, that bhajan I sang that was about remembering all the places. And it starts to become, it's layers, your layers of experience. So they kind of unfold over time. When you learn it, you plant the seed, but it grows over your life, I would say.
Yeah.
Like one of them, Shuddha Bhakata, that we've got the last sheet for. We used to sing it every day in school.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear it, I think of that time. But also, I've appreciated it so much more over. It's like it's. I was gonna say like wine, but I can use that example. Getting better with time. There should be another example of something. Cheese.
Age.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I remember my mom. She used to recite this, so I got lost. I forgot to sing it. Yeah. It was just also because it's more of a meditation, this one, because it's the different places in Vrindavan. So I just been there. Like, yeah, 1 month and a half ago. And I was just, yeah.
Meditation.
Really nice. 1 month before I looked over and you were like this.
Yeah, I was. I was gone.
Absolutely gone.
But yeah, I remember it's like, it's a state of conscious to be in the Dham. Like, you can only see it by hearing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was quite powerful. Mm. Thank you. Okay, so we have two options now. It's almost lunchtime, so either we can, if you feel like you had enough input for this morning, we can stop now. I was thinking it might be actually nice if anyone comes a little earlier to the kirtan this evening in the temple room. We could sing the next one we were going to sing it this evening, and then if there's other devotees, they can also join in, because the next one is a very commonly known one. So if other people are there, they might like to join us. Does that seem okay? Yeah, you usually start 8:15, right?
Yeah.
And so we could start at 8 and sing the bhajan?
Yeah. I think there's Bhagavad Gita class.
Oh, is it?
Bhagavad Gita class.
Oh, and that is every day?
We could tell.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure they don't mind. Maybe.
I'll ask Manu. If we don't do it this evening, we can do it tomorrow.
Do it at tomorrow.
What's that? Lokanath Maharaj.
He's arriving at 8.
I mean in our class we can do it tomorrow. Not in the evening. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Lokanath Maharaj is coming, so we'll have lots of kirtan.
And there's also the blue room.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, good suggestion. Thank you all for your patience and your attentiveness and your enthusiasm. I feel kind of silly and bad that I'm I'm leading them all, even though I know that's what I came to share, but I wish that we all knew them so we could all, each different person, lead them. So maybe next time we can gather all again, and then by then we'll all be able to. But if you would like to, if anyone wants to sing a bhajan during the course with the group, if you want to choose one, please do. It doesn't have to be one from what we've done. If there's a bhajan that you like, I mean, this is our sangha, is our bhajan sangha for this week. So we don't have to, as I said at the beginning of the week, we don't have to follow the set plan. So think about it if there's something that you would like to share with the group. Because I think after this course, you're going to have Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. It's going to be about different kirtan traditions and things. But this is our bhajan week. So.
Which bhajan have you chosen to do this weekend?
We kind of discussed doing Narad Muni, Vajradina. If anyone has any other suggestions, you can please say them.
That way we get to do some from Bhutavali.
Yeah, well, we can do others from Bhutavali as well. My only hesitation with that one is just that it's so new and it's not like the most simple.
What about the Radha Govinda? That could be,
I was thinking of that one. Radha Govinda Vola. What's that?
No, this one. I mean, the one that you
Narada Muni?
The one that you just saw.
Oh, this one? Radha Kund? Yeah? Yeah, it's nice.
I
mean,
like this one.
Which one?
Sarvasvatamar.
Oh, Sarvasvatamar.
Haribol
Junior, thank you. Thank you for reading as well. Thank you for reading. Reading. Because you tried
German,
English,
Italian, English.
Yeah.
You got all of the language. Are you recording?
Haribol. I'm so undecisive about this. It's kind of up to you, because I like them all, and I don't mind which you feel comfortable to do. We can do one from what we've done from the last few days as well.
No.
Yes, that was when he was singing Narada Muni Bhajavina. Yeah. That was in Conway Hall in London.
Yeah,
and he was chanting the Maha Mantra before a lecture. And then Yamuna Devi was playing the harmonium. And suddenly he looked to the back of the room and his eyes became very wide, she was telling. And he started chanting Narad Muni Vajavina, and he looked at her and he was like, keep chanting Maha Mantra. So she kept chanting Maha Mantra and he kept singing the bhajan, and they went on like that, singing the two different things at the same time. And then finally he gestured to stop, and the next day she said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, why did you sing that song, why did you ask me to, you know, continue? And he said, oh, you didn't see? She said, what? Narada Muni came while we were chanting Hare Krishna. Narada Muni came to our assembly. So he used to say, you know, that Narada Muni comes wherever the holy name is being sincerely chanted. So, yeah, I love that bhajan. It's such a beautiful bhajan because it's describing the, just like, it's almost like a chaos but of bliss that the whole world is going into when they're chanting holy name. And Lord Shiva is dancing, and Lord Brahma is shouting, and Narada Muni is playing the veena, and it's like a big festival.
That's why the in Soho Street, why the Vyasa San is so low. I hear that story that it's low because Narada Muni, like Srila Prabhupada said that Narada Muni is always...
Really?
Like, yeah.
Ah, I never heard that.
I think that that's a story.
Soho Street lore.
I think I read it somewhere recently.
Lower there.
I know they used to make really elaborate Vyasa Sans for Srila Prabhupada in the early days, because they just wanted to like do their best, you know, and sometimes people used to not like it. There was one at the manor which was really over the top. It looked like this huge throne. Like exploding throne with all these curls coming off the sides and everything, and Srila Prabhupada, I think, told them like tone it down a bit.
There was one on the screen of the video where you played the purport, or should you know, it was like,
yeah, huge, yeah,
with,
yeah.
With the lions or something on there, yeah. Like, yeah, it was like, yeah. Wow.
Where is that one?
I think the video film I played was I don't know where that was. Some of them are still around. That's at the manor, the old one is still there. But I think most of them got chopped up. I don't know. Yeah.
In Vrindavan, Prabhupada used to actually sit.
I believe so, yeah. You know, it's a really nice thing to do is listen to Srila Prabhupada chanting some of these bhajans. It's so different than how we're doing it. As we were hearing, you know, on the first day, that his playing is like water flowing, you know, it just kind of goes here and there, and it's not necessarily like a tune that's easy to follow, but the way he sings it, it's just unlike anything else you'll hear. Like you can look up on YouTube any of these bhajans, but not any of them he sang, but some of them, especially like Amar Jivan that we sang, he does so beautifully. And some of the ones that we'll sing tomorrow he would sing a lot as well. Also Shuddha Bhakata Chara Narayana.
Did he sing
I'm not sure if I've heard him sing. I'm sure he did at some time, but I don't know if I've ever heard a recording.
Look. Nice.
Yeah. He must have, because they used to sing it on the disappearance days, so yeah. He must have. Maybe it was never recorded though. I don't know. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.